Today we're going to be in the book of Acts. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in Acts chapter 4, but we're going to look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at Acts chapter 11. We're going to go through a couple of places in Acts to talk about a really neat person in the Bible today. But we're going to start out in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37. The title of today's sermon is Encouragement Changes Lives. Encouragement Changes Lives. So as you're turning there, I wonder, has anybody in the congregation today ever had a battery so low in your car that the thing wouldn't start? Now, I'm not asking why you had it. I don't care if you left your lights on, if the radio was left on, if the door wasn't shut. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Maybe your battery is just almost out of juice. But has anybody ever had that problem? Let me see your hands. Amen. Yeah, we all know what that's like. That's tough. And as a matter of fact, we had that same problem in our family this week. Yes, Old Faith's Jeep. It's a trusty old goat, but sometimes it just doesn't want to do what it needs to do. And so Faith went in to start that thing up, and she opened the door up, and it didn't even have a door ding. You put the key in, it just goes, you know, that thing is dead as can be. And so what's the solution? One, call your dad. That's always the solution if your dad is still alive. But then the next solution, how else do you solve that problem besides calling your dad?
Call your mom.
Call your mom, yeah, that may be the next one.
Oh, hey,
there you go. That's always a good plan. You might hook up some jumper cables to it, right? And so you pull another vehicle alongside of that. You throw some jumper cables from your good, strong battery onto that little weak battery. And before you know it, that engine fires right up. And that trouble that Face Little Jeep has where it was got up and gone, it will get up and get going again. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's amazing what you can do when you put two things together. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You say, well, Pastor, what does jumper cables, starting vehicles, and all that have to do with God's Word? Well, I'll tell you, there's a word in the New Testament. The word's called encouragement. And that's exactly what happens. Just like that good car with a good battery pulls alongside that weak one and gives it the jump start, that's exactly what you and I can do for each other when we work together as a team. We can encourage one another. We can put courage in that person and help them get started and get going once again and get on the road. What a blessing it is. I'll tell you, if anything is needed in society today, it's a good dose of encouragement. We have a lot of the opposite, don't we? We have a lot of people that will discourage you. But what I'm talking about today is how we can encourage others. Who likes to be encouraged? Yeah, I like to be encouraged. A little boost of encouragement, that can get you going in the right direction. It can give you a sense to be able to do things you didn't think you could do. It'll help you feel like, you know what? I know this is a lot of work ahead of me. I know this is going to be tough. But if so-and-so said I can do it, if he's there with me or she's here with me, we can get through it together. Encouragement is what it's all about. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so there's a guy in the Bible. His parents called him Joseph. And so most people, when they hear the word Joseph, they're thinking of the guy with the coat of many colors, thinking about the guy who was maybe thrown in prison, thinking about the guy who was sold into slavery. Well, that's not the person I'm talking about today. His parents called him Joseph, but he had some friends, and his friends knew him by a different name, the name of Barnabas. The name of Barnabas. So let's see what Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37 says. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this name Barnabas, it means son of encouragement. What a great nickname. Wouldn't that be a great nickname to have? My name is Barnabas, son of encouragement. That's a nice nickname, you know? And if you think about it, the neat thing about the nickname is he didn't make it up. His friends made it up for him because he had that kind of impact in their life. And you know, the strange thing about nicknames is it just doesn't work if you make up your own. It doesn't. You just can't make up your own nickname. Somebody else has to give you a nickname. Does anybody have a strange nickname or a funny nickname they want to share? Huh? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yes.
Yeah? How did you get that? Who named you that? Well, there you go.
Tiny Jazz, T-I-N-Y I-T-I-G-S, honey, Taz. I love the Tasmanian devil, and she goes, Tasmanian Taz. That's what she means. That's how I'm facing.
There you go. Yeah, Brother Jonathan.
It's just so stupid, bro. In high school, everybody wanted to call me Big J.
Big J, there you go.
I was a water boy, and all the football players, basketball players just started calling me that. Like, why are you calling me that? It's because you're helping us out a lot. Because he's thirsty, really, really thirsty. He gives the water.
There you go. There you go. Miss Alva, what about you?
Alfalfa.
Alfalfa. I've seen that guy before on TV. You don't look anything like him. How'd you get that name?
I don't know. My brothers and sisters, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Miss Terry?
Manfred.
How'd you get that one?
In high school. They started calling me that in band because it was Manfred the Wonder Dog, part two.
Oh, okay.
And I was always doing stuff and scurrying around. So.
That's great. Anybody else have a neat nickname? Yes, Deborah.
My grandmother called me Dub-Dub because I was rotund.
That's good. Shannon, what about you?
All of our nurses, when we went through nursing school, we were all named after snack cakes. So we had Dum-Dum, I'm Zinger, and, you know,
Well, I'm glad you got the name Zinger, sweetheart. Yes, Marcia?
When I was growing up, I had one on the legs, and my dad called me Grasshopper.
Grasshopper, there you go. That's good. Larry, you had one?
My dad called me Beanpole.
Beanpole? How did that come about, brother?
I used to be Beanpole.
Well, you proved it wrong. Praise the Lord, brother. My name's not been Beanpole before. My name was Shorty. And I don't know why. My grandfather, before he passed away, he called me Shorty. And he passed away a couple of years after that. And I guess I was the shortest one in the family. But I grew up and I was taller than both my mom and my dad. So I don't know how that worked out. But Shorty is the nickname. So funny, in fact, that when Shannon and I were first married, my family members would call Shannon's house, or Shannon's parents' house, and ask for Shorty. And they would hang up and say, you know, somebody keeps prank calling us asking for Shorty. And then finally I heard them over speaking. I said, oh, that's me. So you just never know. Nicknames are funny, but you have to get a nickname from somebody else. You can't get your own nickname, right? And so this guy's nickname was Son of Encouragement. Barnabas, Son of Encouragement. What a great nickname to have. You know, we could try something a little risky, but if you think about this, if you think about if your nickname had to do with one of your traits, one of your greatest traits, would it be positive or negative? Would you be like Garrett, the son of liars? Or would be you'd be like Garrett, the son of mercy? I mean, what would your neighbor think? What would your wife or your husband think? And so, a great thing. So why don't we try a little risky thing just for a few minutes? Look over at your neighbor, whoever's close to you, and ask him what your nickname would be. Oh, you guys are a little, that's a little risky, but go ahead, do it. It's okay, we're in church. We can praise God and have fun. Now remember to be nice and honest. Yeah, Chris. Well, I'll tell you what, if I had to come up with a couple nicknames, I would be nice and gentle. I would come up with nicknames like Shannon, the daughter of great patience, because she has to deal with me. George, the son of the great servant. Alva, the daughter of exquisite baking. Or Ron, the son of generosity. Those would be the names that I would come up with. But anyway, nicknames are kind of fun. And so what a great thing to be known of, though, is you were known mainly by your buddies, by the closest people in your life, as the son of encouragement. So Barnabas is quite the neat guy. You know, I think Barnabas is so important in the Bible, and I'll tell you why. I think without Barnabas, we might not even have 14 books in the Bible. To say, what? Pastor Barnabas didn't write any books in the Bible? You need to go back to seminary. No, I agree, he didn't write any books in the Bible, but he encouraged Saul when Saul was getting chased and Christians were trying to kill him after he became a Christian. And had not Barnabas encouraged Saul, we might not have those 13 books in the Bible. And then there was a time where John Mark was had left, and he was in terrible shape. And Barnabas convinced him to go back to Peter and Paul. And if Barnabas wouldn't do that, we might not have the Gospel of Mark as we know it today. So encouraging is amazing. I mean, you can make the difference in somebody's day by encouraging them. And encouraging doesn't take a lot of time. You could send them a nice text, say a nice comment to them. Just show them a nice smile. These little things in life can change the entire outcome of other people's lives. So let's look at this Barnabas guy here. I want to see what's a couple of character qualities that he has that maybe we could have. Because you see, there's a difference between a gift and a trait. And I'm not talking about a gift that Barnabas has. I'm talking about traits that he has. I'm talking about things that you or I can learn to do so that we could be encouraging too. And so the first one here, as we read about it, is sacrifice. Is sacrifice. And we talk about on Wednesday night, we said, what is a good quality trait of a good hero? What's a good quality trait of someone that you would look up to? And the first thing people said was someone who sacrifices what they have for others. So we talked about on Wednesday. A hero or a good leader is someone who sacrifices parts of themselves for others. And I would say that it is impossible to fulfill your full glory of God unless you know how to sacrifice for others. Because if you don't know how to sacrifice for others, all you're doing is living for yourself. And you can't glorify God when you're just living for yourself. And so let's see what this guy's done here. In Acts 4, 36 through 37 again, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas, he sacrificed by selling a field that he owned with his own hard-earned money, his own hard-earned effort. He sold that field and he took that money and he laid it all at the apostles' feet. Why? Because the church was growing. People had needs. As the church grew, the congregation grew. As the congregation grew, people had needs. They needed help. And so Barnabas, he took it on himself. He said, I'm going to sell this big field, this big chunk of land, and I'm giving it all to the apostles to be able to help other people with. What a blessing, but what a sacrifice. If someone was to look at you, would they be able to say that you were a person of sacrifice, or are you a person of selfishness? Think about it. Barnabas was able to encourage these Christians to grow by making a sacrifice. And sometimes we need to make sacrifices too. Now the second time we meet Barnabas is in Acts chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, you might turn over a couple pages. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28, we're going to learn another neat characteristic besides sacrifice that Barnabas has. Another great character trait he had is he was slow to judge people. Slow to judge people. That's an important thing. Because Paul, or Saul known at this time, he was kind of a troublemaker. You see, Saul was converted on the road to Damascus. Many of you know that story. But the other apostles, they were a bit reluctant to accept Saul. Because, well, he had a few incidents that didn't seem to benefit Christian believers too much. I guess that's putting it nicely. Saul persecuted the church. He took Christians and he threw them in jail. He took these Christians and he was around the same side, standing and watching and giving his approval while people were being stoned. You can read about that in Stephen in Acts chapter 8. And so a lot of people, they didn't really want to trust Saul because of his history. But then Saul found Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had his eyes open. And now he was a believer. But you see, nobody wanted to listen to him. They were chasing him out of Damascus. And he had just escaped by being killed, by being lowered down from the city walls in a basket. These people were trying to kill him. And now he's in Jerusalem, where people call him a Christian hater. So he was kind of in trouble. And so these disciples, they really didn't want him to be part of there either. They said, we're not going to let this guy in here. He might be setting us up. What if this is a trick so he can take us all to jail too? And then you read what Barnabas does for him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 28, it says, when he, meaning Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him And he brought them to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So what does this Barnabas, son of the encourager, do? He takes Saul by his side. He says, hey man, I believe that God changed your life. Come on, I'll take you to the apostles. I will stand in the gap for you. I'll vouch for you. And that's what he needed. He needed an encourager, somebody to stand up and actually believe in him. Because everybody else was judging him based on his past. How many times do we do that as Christians? We judge people based on their past instead of accepting them for who they are. They say, well, I got saved. I accepted Jesus. I'm trying to live for the Lord now. You're like, yeah, right. I know what he did last week. I mean, that's what we think. But what if there was a Barnabas? What if you were a Barnabas that you came alongside and you said, no, I've seen Lorene. I know what she was doing last week, but I've seen her. She's changed. She's trying to live for the Lord now. Come on, guys, believe in her. Let's pray for her. And then you know what that would do? One, she would be super excited. And two, you guys would accept her and love her because somebody stood in the gap. Barnabas was that encourager. He was slow to judge. And so instead of sitting there and judging that person, judging Saul based on him killing Christians or dragging him off to jail or persecuting him or whatever, he stood in the gap and he said, this guy, Saul, he's okay. He's with me. I know. He believes in Jesus. Wouldn't it be neat if we could do that today? But so often, when we see someone that claims to believe in God, we have a hard time forgiving them. So I wonder, are you holding a grudge against somebody? Is somebody holding a grudge against you? Isn't it time to put that stuff under the water? Jesus forgave you of all your sins when you asked him for forgiveness. Amen? And so why would we not forgive others all their sin? Something to think about. Barnabas was an encourager. Why? Because he made sacrifices for others. Because he was slow to judge others. And he genuinely was nice to others. If you see about the third time we run into him, that's in Acts chapter 11. If you turn over a couple pages, in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 24, Barnabas is going to be sent to Antioch. Listen to what it says here. It says, now those who have been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch to begin to speak to the Greeks also, telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the great grace of God and what he had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with their faith. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were then brought to the Lord. So good things were happening in Antioch. Great things were happening. The news reached back to Jerusalem and they said, we got to send somebody to go out there and continue encouraging these people. Who can we send? Hey, let's send Mr. Encourager. Let's get Barnabas out there. And so they sent him out there. And now Antioch, it was no little city. It wasn't like the size of Emporia. This is a huge city, third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was sophisticated with all different kinds of culture and races and religions and lifestyles all thrown together. And so what do? They send somebody who's going to get there and encourage them to keep on doing what they're doing. And sometimes we need that motivation. Sometimes it's just as simple as, I know things are hard. I know you're going through a tough time, but you're going to make it through. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't give up. And that was what Barnabas was doing. I wonder, when is the last time you encouraged someone? When is the last time that you genuinely encouraged someone? Think about it. Every one of us in our life, we could share a ton of testimonies about how someone has encouraged us and helped us become the man or woman that we are. You know, there's a funny joke that says behind every good man is a woman that's even better. And the funny part about that joke is also kind of true, is the many good women inspire their men to be better. They challenge us to be better, just like the Lord challenges us to be better. And through that, We're encouraged and we become better. Encouragement is powerful. When is it going to take for you to be an encourager? For you to go and encourage someone just to lift their spirits? A little action goes a long way. But listen, Barnabas didn't just encourage them in following the Lord. He got one of the greatest compliments in all of the Bible. The greatest compliment in all the Bible. Here's what it says in verse 24. It says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. No finer testimony can be given to any other Christian. These are the character traits of a good encourager. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and he had faith. What's a good man? It's a genuine person who wants to be a Christian, who wants to be Christ-like. Somebody who's seeking to live a godly life. Somebody who's trying to do every day what is right. Somebody who exhibits all those fruits of the Spirit that God gives us in Galatians. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Folks, the fact is somebody that's living a godly life is going to be really easy to be a good encourager. Why? Because you look up to them already and see the great things they're doing. And so then the next thing, it says he's full of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian and you accept that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. Whether you're choosing to use the Holy Spirit or let the Holy Spirit guide your life is a whole different bowl of wax. But this scripture says that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. That means you're listening to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. It's the great teacher. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You're saying, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. Lord, help me through this. God, teach me these things. And you're letting the Holy Spirit speak through you. Scripture says Barnabas was full of faith. Faith that God was who he said he is. And that God chose himself to be who he said he is. Faith in God's provisions. He sold all of his land. He sold that land. And he put it at the apostles' feet, all the money from that. You know what that shows? He had faith that God would provide for him, even if he didn't have any land. That's a man of faith. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Ask yourself, could that be said of you? Are you a good man or woman, full of the Holy Spirit, who has lots of faith? The final and last characteristic I want to share with you of a good encourager is motivating and working for the success of others. Look at the next two verses in Acts 11, 25 and 26. It says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You wonder where the name Christian came from? Here it is. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. You see, Barnabas, he could have hogged the spotlight. He could have hogged all the leadership. He could have been the one leading and exalting all the people. But he didn't do that. He recognized Paul was a gifted leader. And so instead of him doing it, Paul was the one that led everything. And so God used Paul beyond anything even Barnabas could do in leading and reaching people. What about you? Are you willing to work for the success of others, even if you're not in the limelight? That's an important thing. The world teaches us to crawl and climb and step on whoever you need to get to the top. But this is opposite of that. This says encourage those that have those gifts. Bless them, support them, help them develop those gifts to do the best that they can do so that they can be the leader. So that they can do the great things God has called them to do. The reality is Barnabas recognized the most important thing in the world was people. And that's what drove him to be encouraging. He wanted to see people coming to faith and growing in their faith. And that was far more important than anything he get the credit for. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That was Barnabas' attitude. That's why he was such a great encourager, because it wasn't about him. It was about helping others. All those character traits that Barnabas has that we talked about today, those aren't gifts. Those are traits. Those are things that you can develop and I can develop. Being sacrificial, that's something you and I can do. Being slow to judge, it may take us some time, but that's something you and I, we can do. Desiring to be a spiritual influence on others, that's something you or I can do. It may take some work on our part, but it's something that we can do. Being a good man or a woman of what the Bible says, a good Christian man or woman, that's something we can work on. Being full of the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit. All you got to do is ask for the Holy Spirit to guide your life and follow what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Being full of faith, like Brother Ron got up here and said, don't doubt, believe, have faith, trust, and God will deliver you. These aren't spiritual gifts, but they're traits that every one of us can have. I'm going to share one more quick thought and I close. Joseph, as his parents named him, was just a Levite, Jew from Cyprus, but his friends knew him as Barnabas, the son of encouragement. We talked about nicknames, and I had your neighbors give you nicknames just kind of as a joke and something fun. But if you think about it today, and you talk to your truest friends, and they named your most prominent trait, what would it be? Would you be Barnabas, son of encouragement? Would you be Garrett, son of lies? Who would you be? Think about it. Barnabas, the man who stood by Saul and saw the good in him when no one else did. The one who didn't hold his past against him. The one who saw the work that God was doing in Saul's life. Is that you? Is that me? Barnabas, the one who saw something great going on in a new church. People doing great things and encouraged them on their journey. Are you an encourager? Do you encourage people that are on their journey? Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith and working for the success of others. Can that be said of you? Every single one of us likes to be encouraged. And every single one of us can be an encourager. But it's up to you whether you'll be an encourager or not. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be encouragers, Lord. God, there's enough people in the world that criticize and put other people down, Lord. And so I ask our congregation to think about this today. Are we encouragers? Do we look for people and do we see the good in people? Do we see the good traits that they have? Do we encourage the good traits that they are? Or do we look upon people and we criticize them and look at all the bad things about them? Lord, help us to be slow to judge. Help us not to be like these men that are condemned for doing something wrong many years ago. Lord, help us to be forgivers. Help us to be men and women of sacrifice. It's not all about us, Lord. It's about you. And God, if we need to sacrifice something to help one of your sons or daughters, Lord, give us the strength to do it. God, if we work in a bad work environment, if we have a bad home environment, if we have a bad church environment, it's probably not because of the person next to us, probably not because of the coworker. It's probably because of our attitude. How can we change that workplace, that home place, that church place? I'll tell you, it's by being an encourager. You want people to be around you? Be an encourager. People love to be around people that are encouragers. Who can you encourage today? Who can you spur on? Who can you come alongside just like a dead car battery? Who can you come alongside, hook your jumper cables up to, and get them on the road and going again? Lord, I pray as I just talk to you today that you'll put someone in each person's mind. Who is it that Ariel needs to encourage? Who is it that Mike needs to encourage? Who is it that Alva needs to encourage? Who is it that Ronnie needs to encourage? How can we be encouragers, Lord? Put someone in our mind that we can encourage today. Lord, if there's anybody here that just needs to come and pray, maybe they have a prayer request like Brother Ron had said. Maybe they've been praying for something and they kind of lost hope, or they're dependent on themselves. Maybe somebody just needs to come to the altars and pray and say, God, here it is. Here's the problem. I need your help. Maybe somebody needs to come and say, I just want to praise you, Lord, and I'm going to come down to the altars and just praise your name. Maybe somebody here is going through a hard time and they say, boy, I could use an encouraging word. Maybe they come and pray, Lord, encourage me today. God, help us, Lord, as we live on this face of the earth and we try to glorify you, Lord. If there's anybody here that needs to come and pray, you're welcome to pray today as we sing this verse of invitation, hymn 251, Jesus is Calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away?
People's eyes closed and your heads bowed. If there's someone in the congregation that just is going through a tough time and just wants to slip up their hand today and say, Pastor, remember me when you pray. If you slip up your hand, I'll see that hand and I'll remember to pray for you. Amen. I see those hands in the back there and the ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. See those hands. I'll remember you in my prayers this week. I believe that God answers prayers. I believe that God changes lives through prayers. And I know he'll work in yours. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to close our service today, God, we give all the glory to you, Lord. God, you are amazing. You can do anything, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, to be the men and women you want us to be, Lord. Help us, God, to go and lift up other people, Lord. Help us to take bad environments and make them great, God, because we would be encouragers, Lord. Help us, God, to be a church of encouraging people, to lift up people's hearts, to lift up their praises, and to give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.